This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Morena.
Kia ora, Morena.
I was kind of stuck between saying Morena and saying your name.
Well, you can just do both.
Kia ora, Morena, Geneva.
Oh, that's actually got quite a nice melody, time signature. Yeah. Timbre. Timbre.
All that kind of jazz.
Timbre. I don't know what the technical terms are.
Very music, isn't it?
All you music people out there are probably cringing. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're looking at PJ Harvey today.
Yes, we are.
Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea, which is turning 20.
Oh.
It was released in 2000, yes.
I was given this album when I was 13.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I have any cool in me.
Well, she's amazing, and she's released so many good albums, and this is one of the best ones.
Yes.
Yes. So she was born in Dorset in the UK in 1969. And music was in her life from a very young age. She learned saxophone, guitar. She played in an 8-piece instrumental group and was also in a folk group as well, which is where she actually wrote most of her earliest material.
Quite a high achiever.
She was very much a high achiever in music.
Yes.
And she began her career properly in 1988, age 19, when she joined a group called Automatic Delamini. And that band's frontman, John Parrish, would actually become her long-term collaborator.
Yeah.
And they would record... it was through that the PJ Harvey Trio was born, with Rob Ellis and Stephen Vaughan, and they would record the first two of her albums together as a trio, the PJ Harvey Trio, and she basically spent the rest of the 90s kind of rising up as one of the more exciting new alternative singer-songwriters in the UK. She released four albums, all of them very much received very well, lots of acclaim. And what was interesting and exciting about PJ Harvey was she was very hard to pin down stylistically.
Mm.
She herself actually hated repeating herself musically, and this led to a very eclectic mix of albums from heavy rock to folk to more electronic stuff.
So what you're saying here is that she's a genius.
She's genius. Yeah. Put it out there. I mean, she's very good at changing things up and just making, you know, eclectic different mix of songs.
I'm being biased. I just reckon she's a genius.
But she was definitely gifted, that's for sure, musically, as well as being a great singer-songwriter, playing a multitude of instruments, and also being a great live performer as well. So come 1999, she'd been living in New York, and she became inspired by that city quite a bit, and she'd been doing some acting there, and at the time she also wrote a few songs which formed the basis for this particular album, and this actual album became known as her New York album, even though she kind of denies this. Musically, this one is more direct, more melodic in many ways. It moved in the direction, I guess, of your classic alternative rock compared to, I guess, more of her heavier albums. It also features a lot of alti, quote marks, guitar playing, kind of almost new wave New York. I'm thinking here Patti Smith, early Pretenders, early Talking Heads, that kind of thing.
Mm.
She even said it felt like a combination of all her albums rolled into one. And I think I can definitely hear that for sure on a lot of these tracks.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's start with the opening track of the record. This is called Big Exit.
Yes.
And this is just a great, great album opener. It's just an all-out rock banger. Really sets the tone for the rest of the record, I reckon.
All right, if you're at work or at home or in your car, turn it up.
Danger come, I want and I feel the hurt in my heart. Feels like the end of the world. I see the children as sharp as knives. I see the children dead in lies. Beautiful people, beautiful girls. I just feel like it's the end of the world.
What a tune.
I love the tune.
Getting very excited in the studio here.
Yeah, I'm reliving the part of me when I was 13 that was cool.
Your lost youth.
Well, I'm actually quite glad not to be 13 again, because like I was pretty awkward.
Yeah, I am too, just quietly.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
still awkward.
The next track we're going to play is, or was, I should say, the lead single from this record. It's called Good Fortune, and this is probably one of the most new wavy sounding tracks on this record. It's very strong, has a very strong Patti Smith Pretenders vibe to it.
Patti Smith.
It actually sounds like it could have been recorded in 1979. It's got that feel, particularly in the guitars and her very, very post-punky vocals that she's got going on here.
Fab.
Oh,
much Patti Smith vibes happening in that song. I love it.
It's actually making me realize how influential PJ Harvey's been on my singing and songwriting.
Yeah, she's
just right now. I've just realized that.
She's had a massive influence on a lot of female
well,
artists.
I just mean in general. Yeah, of course, she's a highly influential, prolific maker.
I'd love to see her live.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone listening seen her live?
Yeah.
Text in, please.
5395.
Yeah, please do. But for now,
yes,
we're going to talk about how this album was received.
Alrighty.
Yes. Well, it was a great success for her, and actually at the point when it was released, it was the second best-selling record of her career. Critics absolutely loved it. NME hailed it as a magnificent, life-affirming opus. I love the way music critics speak. Robert Christou called it the best album of her career. And it received many 4- and 5-star reviews from many of the album, music publications. It also earned a Brit Award nomination for Best British Female Artist, as well as 2 Grammy Award nominations for Best Rock Album and Best Female Rock Performance. And she also won the very prestigious Mercury Prize for this record.
Oh, right.
And she became the first female to win that prize.
Really?
Yeah.
From this album?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love learning facts with you, Sam. Thank you.
Yeah, pretty special. since its release, its acclaim has only grown. Rolling Stone magazine named it the 8th best album by a woman in rock. Q magazine named it the greatest album by a female artist ever.
Yes.
And just last year, The Guardian named it the 19th best album of the 21st century.
Far out.
So there you go. It remains to be viewed as one of her best albums and one of the best albums from that early 2000s period. And as I was just saying, she's gone on to influence so many people in music, and definitely has helped pave the way for many women coming through the alternative music scene, the next generation, people like Saint Vincent, Angel Olsen, so many people. Yeah, she's just amazing.
She's just paved the way and made it awesome.
She has.
Thank you, PJ.
Thank you, PJ. And with that, we're going to finish with a duet.
Aww.
Yes, this track is with old mate Tom York.
Cool.
It's called This Mess We're In, and Tom York and PJ Harvey, they met in 1992 and they've remained pretty close friends over the time. And this kind of sounds like a Radiohead song with PJ Harvey as a guest vocalist, which is quite interesting.
Once again, thank you very much. You smashed it,
Sam. No, that's my pleasure. Thank you.
I'll see you next week.
Ciao.
Fab. I love the song.
think we will meet again.
I don't think we will
and we must
meet
leave
again.
Now before the sun rises over the skyscrapers
the
and the city landscape comes into being. Sweat on my skin. Oh,
this mess we're in.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.